great to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you for your good singing. Makes it easier to preach the message I'm going to preach this morning. It's kind of awkward to preach on singing right after everybody doesn't sing. But I think that God has some things for us from His Word. And so I'm excited to see what God's going to do in each of our hearts and lives today for the service. Today I'm hoping to lay out a biblical theology of singing. This will, Lord willing, be a two-part message. Pastor has asked me to preach now, obviously, and in April. So the two parts will be pretty spread out, a month apart or so, maybe a little more. But I'll give some review when we do that. But you know, Bruce and I were talking before the service, and boy, I really struggled with what to preach. I had actually pretty well a full message prepared, a different message, and then I had another one that I had prepared way back that I was like, oh, maybe this is it. And this topic kept coming up, and I was planning on preaching it in April, and I wanted to do a good amount of study and really have a good grasp on it. And I believe I do, but I wanted to do more. There's more that I have to study, but as I focused in my study on this topic, I kind of focused in on the first half after I figured out that I was going to have way too much to preach in just one message, and that worked out really well. So what does the Bible say about singing? Does this Bible mention singing at all? Is singing something that our church does because pastor needs some kind of filler? Is our singing entertainment? What does God expect from you as a child of God in regards to singing? What does God expect from you as a part of this local body of believers in regards to singing? These are all questions I hope to answer through God's Word in these two messages. And I pray that you will open your heart to what God has for you. My heart is burdened for this topic. The more I sing, the more I love to sing, and the more vital I see it as part of what we do on Sunday morning, but also as part of what we do individually. And so I started studying this. I feel a little inadequate almost. There's, you know, men in this room that could teach or preach much better on this topic. They know more, and so I feel like I don't know if this is the right thing for me to do or not at first. I know it's the right thing for me to do now. And so just nervous, to be honest. And typically when I get up here, I'm a little nervous. I'm carrying the weight of God's words. So that's a little nerve-wracking. But today I'm a little extra nervous. I want to communicate clearly today what my heart has studied and has felt, and I'm afraid that I'm not going to. So I ask you to pray with me. Pray with me that I would be clear in how I preach this morning, and that you would understand the message from God. But then I have a few other things, two things specifically, for you to pray about. And we'll have a little time of prayer here in just a second. The first thing is that God would work in your heart in at least one way about singing today. That's something that I think no matter whether you're singing with gusto and believe exactly right with what the Bible says, I think hopefully there's something that you can learn today that you can apply to your life. And that's the other thing, that you would remember and work to change that area with God's help. I think sometimes, in fact, I talked with some people today about we've preached messages on singing before, And it seems like sometimes nothing changes. And so I want you to pray with me. Ask God to help you not only learn something today, but that you would remember it. If you're like me, when pastor preaches, I'll be honest, not every time. Hopefully, I take good notes so that I can review the message. Sometimes there's things that I learned that by the next Sunday, if you asked me what I learned, I wouldn't be able to tell you. And that's a shame on me. And maybe you're the same way. God asks us to be doers, not just hearers. And so that's what I'm asking for you today. We're going to take just a minute of quiet time. I'll be praying to myself, and I ask that you pray to yourself for these two areas, and then we'll jump into the message. I'll close us in prayer as well. So let's pray. Take some time to ask God for these things. Lord, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for how it speaks to every area of our life. God, would you calm my nerves? Would you give me the exact words you want me to say? Would you come and meet with us today? And would you allow us to have our lives changed through the preaching of your word? Not because of me or because of anyone else, but because you are God and you can change a life. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you're going to do today. In your name I pray. Amen. How many of you have heard someone say the statement, "I can't sing"? How many of you, maybe you've made that statement yourself. How many of you heard that statement, "I can't sing"? Okay. I have heard it over and over again. And the truth is, what they mean by that statement is, I can't sing well, or I can't sing up to a standard that I would like to sing. Okay. Most of the time, okay? There are a few physical issues that could hinder you from singing, okay? But if you can talk, you can sing. And as far as I know, everyone in this room can talk, therefore everyone in this room can sing, right? So it's kind of like one of those things where you're like, well, yeah, we meant that I can't sing well or I can't sing to a certain standard. But I want to talk to you today about, first, what is singing, okay? You say everybody can sing. Okay, I am not an expert on biology or the body in any way, but I looked some stuff up and did a little bit of research, and everyone said the same thing, okay? So I feel safe in saying that this is a general idea of how your vocal box and singing and speaking works. The vocal cords are separated or open as we inhale and exhale and come together close when we make sound. When air goes through the closed vocal cords, they vibrate and create the initial sound, which is then amplified by your pharynx, back of the throat, all the way from behind the nose down to behind the larynx. Okay? You're like, that was super boring. Okay, what it means is, you can sing, okay? That's what it comes down to. But I thought I'd put a little bit of science-y stuff in there so you don't think I'm just making this up, okay? You can do this. Do you know that God did not stumble upon singing? It wasn't like, oh, wow, what do you know about that? I shoved this voice box in there so they could talk, and they can sing too. What do you think about that? Man, I had no idea. God's not like that. God doesn't do that. He has a purpose. He has a plan for everything. When he created you with a voice that could both speak and sing, aside from a few outliers with some physical issues. And in my opinion, those people can still sing. I've seen them. People that are deaf a lot of times can't speak very well, but they can sing with their hands, and it's an amazing, wonderful testament to God, I think. So I think they're still singing. But as we typically think of singing, God doesn't make mistakes. You say, well, have you heard my voice? Because it's a little rough. Like, once again, God doesn't make mistakes. He created you to sing. I want to look at this first point. Just 2 points today. 4 pages of notes. I typically have two. But just 2 points, okay? God has created you to sing. Let's look at a few verses. Don't take my word for it. Take God's word for it. Psalm 139, 13 and 14. I put them on the screen because I'm going to go through quite a few verses. If you'd like to turn to them, feel free to do that, but I'm just going to kind of breeze right through them. Otherwise, we will be here for quite a while. Okay? So, Psalm 139, 13 through 14. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. And that my soul knows very well. He says, God made me, even the stuff in the inside, okay? It's not just the head he made the insides too. He made the part that talks. He made the part that sings. He even made the personality and all those things. God made you, and that includes your voice. We'll continue. Psalm 98, 4 through 9. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice, and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness, he shall judge the world and the people with equity. We get to join nature. He's made all of nature to sing. And if you don't believe that, go to the ocean. It's one of my favorite places in the world because it's just gorgeous as you look out at it and you hear that. In fact, you can look up on YouTube, just like hours of that because it's so peaceful that people like to listen to the ocean as they go to sleep. We have a sound machine in our room. It's like this little box thing, and it helps with our little one sleeping so that her big loud dad doesn't wake her up as much. I did wake her up this morning a little bit, but it kind of makes this little rain sound. Why? Because it's peaceful. It's a peaceful song of nature. Have you ever heard a bird sing? They're singing. They are just plain out singing. Some of those birds can make quite a few sounds too. It's beautiful. It's beautiful what they do. The rivers clap their hands. God says in another passage of scripture that if we didn't speak up, he would make the rocks cry out because someone has to praise him because he's that awesome. He's that good. We get to join with the rest of creation. We can look at creation and see he's created us to sing. Our next passage is Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So not only did he create you to sing, but he created you to sing to him. He says all things were created by him and for him. You were created to sing to God. God wants to hear you sing. You say, he don't want to hear me sing. I'm terrible. He does. Did you know he created that voice? Think about that. When you downplay your voice, you're saying, God kind of messed up when he got to the voice part or the singing part for me. No, he didn't. He doesn't do that, mess up. No, he doesn't do that. He gave you just the voice you're supposed to have. And he put you in this body of believers to sing for this body of believers and for his glory. God created you to sing. This includes your voice. This does not, however, mean you are naturally good at it. Okay, I studied or one of the books that I studied that Dan recommended to me was Sing by Keith and Kristen Getty. And I have a quote from their book because they put it better than I do. And if you want to read this book, it is a fantastic book, easy to read, super short. I read it in like 3 days, and I am not a good reader at all. And it's also on audiobooks if you like to listen to books, and they have this really cool like Irish accent when they read, so it makes it more interesting. So if you want to read that, it is a fantastic book. I would highly recommend it. But they said, or in their words, it is worth adding, though, that the more we practice something, the better we become at it. And we seek to improve in what we truly value. Did you catch that? You seek to improve in what you truly value. To learn to walk takes time, and we first must learn to press down on our feet. My little one is a month and a half. She doesn't walk yet. She's got to learn a few things. She wiggles them legs all the time, though, especially when you're trying to change her diaper. It's like this little acrobatics going on. She can't walk yet. She has to learn that. I pray and hope that she does learn to walk, right? It takes time, and we first must learn to press down on our feet. To learn to speak takes time, and we must first open our mouths and make sound. To praise God in tuneful song takes time, and we grow better at singing by singing. And once we've reached our peak, if it is some way short of the tuneful heights, a sense of humor is a useful ally. Some people do have a special gift of singing absolutely every note slightly off pitch, which is ironically very hard to do. Since we sing to encourage and praise, not to impress and earn praise, we can smile about that and sing anyway. This is a great statement. The excuse that my voice doesn't sound good is really a statement of pride, isn't it? I don't sound like I want to, so I just can't do it. God said, but I created that. I like the way you sound. I want to hear you sing. And if you come a little short, and you know you come a little short, some of you are like, yeah, I know, that's me. I am not great at singing. That's okay. Smile and say, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made by God, and I'm going to sing anyway. Because that's what God asks you to do, okay? And that brings us to our next point. You're like, wow, you're breezing right through it. I am, actually. It's going quickly. Have you been using an excuse like, I can't sing, to not use the voice God gives you to sing? God has created you to sing praise unto his name. Choose to start learning to sing. Not only are you created to sing, but you're commanded to sing. You say, really? This was one that before I studied it out, I wanted to say, God commands you to sing. But then I was like, does God command you to sing? I'm not sure that he actually like commands you to sing. Like, he talks about singing and maybe even assumes that you'll sing, but does he command you to sing? Oh, yeah, he does. He does many times. In fact, around 50 times, he directly tells you to sing, directly. Then there's about 450 or so, give or take a few verses that mention singing in general. That's a lot of verses. You know, one of the common ones, which I guess I haven't actually studied myself, but that you hear is that fear or worry is mentioned 365 times in the Bible because one for every day. I've heard that one many times. That's more than that. We talk about fear and worry as something that we need to do, but God talks about singing more. Not that one's more important than the other. They're both very important, okay? God commands you to sing. Let's look at some verses, okay? Like I said, don't take my word for it. Look at God's word. Psalm 100, 1 through 2. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. come before his presence with singing. These are not suggestions, okay? These are not like, if you want to, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. No, he says, you make a joyful noise to the Lord. Do it. That's what you're supposed to do. I'm telling you, make a joyful noise. It'd be like if my boss said, I work in renovations, construction. If my boss said, go cut me a 96 5/8 2x4. And I said, okay, maybe. Like, no, go cut. Like, he doesn't have to say, thou shalt cut 2x4 96 5/8, right? Or he shouldn't. Cliff Cox and I were talking about some of the guys on his crew. Sounds like maybe they have to be told that. You know, like, pick said board up, carry said board over, set board down, okay? It can be tough that way, but that's not the way it's supposed to work, right? God says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. And then he says, serve the Lord with gladness. It's interesting. Is that tied? I haven't studied whether serving and singing are tied, but I would bet you they are. I hope to study that soon. Come before his presence with singing. He says, come usher into my throne with singing. Let your voice be heard. Okay, we'll continue. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. This one's interesting. We'll talk about this one more in April, but he says to teach and admonish one another through your psalms and hymns. So maybe you're sitting here thinking, well, I sing in the shower, and that's good enough. No, it's not. Not according to this verse. It says you're supposed to be teaching and admonishing through your psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. This is important. This is what God has asked you to do. In fact, this is what God has commanded you to do. Notice, too, as we go through these verses, they're not all Old Testament verses. They're not all in the Psalms. They're Old Testament, Psalms, New Testament. It's throughout Scripture that God talks about this. So just so you're not like, well, that's the Psalms. It's a songbook, you know, no big deal. The other parts don't talk about it. Colossians does. Isaiah does here in a minute. Not this Isaiah, the Bible Isaiah. He's like, what? I'm going to have to preach? No, I'm just kidding. you're commanded to sing Psalm 147:1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. Get this, he says, it's good. He says it's pleasant. You know, these words are similar words to what he used when the Israelites would sacrifice. That sweet smell or that pleasantness that came from a sacrifice. Very similar. That's interesting to me. God says, it's what I love. It's what I enjoy. I enjoy to hear you sing. It's pleasant. It's comely. That's one of my favorite verses because it speaks to like something we can do for God. If that's even, I mean, obviously we have to have his strength to do anything. But it's like something I can do that he likes. It's good. It's pleasant. He thinks it's comely. Ephesians 5:19-20. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There it is again. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to one another. How are you supposed to do that if you're not singing to one another? You have to be singing in order to do that. God commands it. Once again, Isaiah 12:5. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. This deals with why you should sing to the Lord. Because he's done excellent things. Has he not? When we look at some of these songs that we sung today or sing often about the blood of Christ that cleanses us, about he's alive. Praise the Lord, he is alive, we sung today. Has he not done wondrous things? Friend, if your heart's not stirred by that, something's wrong with your heart. I'm not saying you need to be stirred to tears. Some people are more emotional than others. I tend to be one of those people, unfortunately. I don't like that, but that's the way God made me, so I should be thankful, right? But that doesn't mean you have to be like me. I don't want you to be like me, but God wants you to sing. This is a problem for our church. I'm going to speak pointedly, hopefully graciously, but this is an area that we struggle with. Do you know what I see in most services when I'm leading? I wasn't leading today, so I don't know. I'm not pointing anybody out, okay? I see people like this. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Like, well, singing. I don't know if you can consider that singing. I'd almost consider that whispering. And then you see other people like this. Sometimes you even see people like this. Oh, the weather says it's 46 outside, all right? Yep. I'm just saying, you wouldn't think, I don't look for that stuff, okay? I'm not like staring you down like, oh yeah, Emmett over there, you know, not singing. But it catches your eye when a lot of people are singing and somebody's, you're like, you know what it makes me think? What's wrong with their heart? How can you not when God commands you to sing and you sit there refusing to do it? I don't know how we can get around the fact that God says sing, and if you're not doing it, you're disobeying. Just plain and simple. We are commanded by God to sing. If we're not doing it, it's disobedience. It's just like lying or not giving or whatever you want to put there. In fact, it's equated a lot with prayer. It's not just praying, but it is definitely prayer. It should be the way you do this. One of the quotes that they say in this book is, that is by the Getty's Sing, they say, I'm paraphrasing here, it is not just, singing is not just a duty, but it is no less than a duty. It is your God-given duty, although it's more than that. It should be an outflow of your heart, but it's at least a command. God has asked us to sing. Now listen, I get it. Sometimes you come in and your throat's sore, or you screamed yesterday at a game, and you can't really sing very loud or can't sing very much. You know what I do when I'm in those situations? I mouth the words. I can breathe, so I mouth them because I need something. I got to give something out. You know, it's interesting. Teenagers... when I was working at the Wilds, I worked there for 4 summers. And that first summer, I'm trying to figure out, you get 8 campers every week. Every Monday, you get 8 new guys, and you've got to learn them, figure out where they are spiritually, and try and help them take the next step through the power of God, because there's no way that an 18-year-old guy like me could do that. but one of the ways I always looked for to see where they were at spiritually is that first service, how were they singing? If they weren't singing, they got a spiritual problem. Bar none. You know what happened when they got their life right? Those kids would scream their hearts out till they had no voice left on the ball field playing games and doing stuff. And they'd come in on that Friday night before they headed home, and they were squeaky and they sounded terrible, but boy, you could hear every single one of them because their heart was fixed from sin issues that were in their lives. And their heart couldn't keep it in because you have to let it out because God is that awesome. How long has it been since you felt that way? We don't get to not sing because we don't like the song. We don't get to not sing because it's not our favorite tune. We don't get to not sing because it's not the version of the song you like. We don't get to not sing because we sang it last week. We don't get to not sing because we're tired. We don't get to not sing because we're grumpy. None of those things are viable excuses. God says sing. So what do we do? We sing because he's God of gods. He's King of kings, and that's what he's asked us to do. So you're repeating yourself. I know. I just want to make it clear, okay? We struggle with this. There's a reason why I wanted you to pray that God would work in your heart and that you would remember and work to change. Sometimes we preach these messages and we hear these good things. I told you, I'm just as guilty. And we sing really well next week. Good. But is there a heart change? That's what I think it is. Now, let me give you some caveats to this. I realize when it's a brand new song, that we introduce lots of new songs here every 2 weeks, generally. When it's a brand new song, it's harder to sing. You don't know it. I get it. That's why we do some of the things we do. A lot of times when we introduce a new song, we play it on the piano first in our offertory, and then we sing it directly after. Why? Because we want you to hear the tune and see the words and get a little bit more familiar with it. And then what else? Some of the other things we do is we'll stop after the first verse. It's awkward because I say, hold it, you know. Hey, let's. How many of you know that song or struggle with that song? And raise your hands like, oh, yeah, I could definitely tell. I couldn't really hear you very much. Let's repeat that first verse. Why? Because you just sang through it, those words, so it's a little easier to go through that. Sometimes we slow the song down at the beginning when we're learning it. Guys, we're doing what we can to help you with this. We realize that in this room, I don't know how many people there are in this room. Let's say there's 50 people. I don't know. There's probably more than that. But we realize if there's 50 people in this room, there's probably 50 different favorite songs. There's probably 50 different styles that you like the best. Or maybe not 50 different styles, but several different styles. There's probably some of you that are like, I like those old steady favorites that I've sung all my life. And some of you are like, I like something fresh and new and peppy. And some of you are like, I don't know what I like. I'm just along for the ride, you know. We get that. We're working on that. We're working hard on that. Can I tell you, these people up here, they come in at 8:30 every Sunday to practice so that they can sing loud so that you can hear it a little better, so that it helps you to sing. The people back in the sound booth spend countless, I don't even know what Brother Dan, Miss Heather, and their cohorts work back there do each week. But when I get here at about 8:15, they're always here. Always. If they're not, I'm like, somebody's sick. Uh-oh, we're in trouble, you know. they're always here at that point. And then Dan and I and Pastor, we meet every other week and then once a month on top of those every other week meetings and talk about What songs do we need to introduce? What songs are best to sing for our church? What songs are singable? What songs can we help encourage the congregation? Why? Because it's important, and we want to help you. We're not trying to make it hard for you to sing. I promise, we're not. But it's very difficult for us to accommodate everyone's favorite. So sing anyways. I'm going to be honest and open here. There are some songs that one of the three of us pick that I don't like. Not all of them. Not all of them at all. In fact, most of them I do. But there was a service not too long ago. It's been a while. That I was like, not my favorite songs. As I sung those songs, I watched the face of that person that picked the songs. My heart was blessed. Not because they were my favorite songs, because I got to sing their favorite songs. It's not about you. We're not performers up here. If you haven't figured it out by now, okay? We're not professionals. We're people that love God that want to sing. That's it. And we come here to try to do that for you. And for you to do that for us. It's a two-way street. So please sing, okay? I say all that to say, I don't want us to get up here next week and you'd be like, he's going to be watching, he's watching, he's going to be watching me be sing. No, that's not what we're about here, okay? I'll be honest. Singing is not something that I generally struggle with. I have plenty of things that I generally struggle with. And those things might be your strong points. I get that. But it doesn't make it less true that we need to work on this, okay? As a congregation, as a church family. Let me pull up my other notes here real quick so I can kind of give you an overview of what we're hoping to talk about next time. So next time, we're hoping to sing, it's in the head. How should you sing? We want to see you should sing loudly, sing proudly, sing wholeheartedly. We want to look at why should you sing? Sing because God asks of you. We talked about that. Sing to teach others how. Sing because of your community and unity. Sing because of your testimony. What should you sing? I haven't gotten that far, so I don't have any sub-points, okay? I got to study that out, okay? Where should you sing? Those are the points that I'm going to cover next time. I still have study to do on those, and I'm excited to do that study. But that's where we're headed, okay? We're going to give you some practical helps to do that. Would you sing with me? Sing as a brother and sister in Christ. Sing to the world. I'm afraid that if we're singing about the blood of Christ and we have a guest come in that does not know Christ as his Savior, he would get kind of the picture that we don't really believe what we're singing. That should break our hearts. Don't we believe that God died for us? It should be communicated, if not by our voices. I'm the first to cry during an emotional or song that I love, and then the singing stops, and it makes me so mad because I'm like, I wanted to really let it rip on this one, and I can't because I'm like, over here, like, oh, man. Like, next time, I'm not going to even think about the words. It's like, well, that doesn't do you any good, right? But when Christ is so awesome, I can't help but sing praises to his name. So we're going to do that real quick, okay? We're going to close in prayer, and Brother Dale's going to come, and we'll sing at least one or two favorites to close. We can't preach a message about singing and then not sing, okay? We're just going to sing some songs from the hymnal to close our service. And would you sing with me? Sing to the world, sing to each other, and sing because God commanded it, and you're created to do it. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for the good gift of a voice. You know, like I mentioned, there are some people that don't have a voice. And God, that would be so hard for me in many ways. God, thank you for giving us the gift of singing. Would you help our congregation to sing to you out of a heart that loves you? In your name I pray. Amen. All right, does anyone have a favorite song? I did not pick any out. I thought maybe there would be somebody that has a favorite song, and I'm so thankful for Dale. I texted him last night, and I was like, hey, if we just did like an impromptu Singspiration, would that be all right? And he's like, oh, yeah, no problem. He's awesome like that and can just whip it out anytime. So, yes. How Great Thou Art. Great one. You're going to make me cry. Oh, okay, what page is that? Do you know? 147, and they have it on the screen because they're awesome too. 147, and we will sing all four verses, or let me make sure it's got four. Yes, we'll sing all four verses on this one. This is the one that we've been kind of playing with a little bit. Just a second. I kicked my bottle over, and I was afraid it was spilling. this is the one we've been singing a little bit. So we sing the first verse. The second verse, first verse, chorus, second verse, chorus, third verse, and fourth verse, and then we'll sing the chorus, okay? So we'll go straight from the third verse into the fourth verse. Let's stand together as we sing. Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands hath made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing send him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross my burden gladly bear, he bled and died to take away my sin. Fourth verse. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Let it rip. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. I told you I get all blubbery on this one, but I can't sing How Great My God Is and not
tear up at what he's done for me. Happens every time. Do we have another song? Move on from this one. Whew. 323. This will be our last one because it's getting late. Too late. 323 at the cross.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Verse 2. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Verse 4. Thus might I hide my blushing face while Calvary's cross appears. Dissolve my heart in thankfulness and melt mine eyes to tears. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Verse 5. But drops of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Let's sing that chorus one more time, a cappella.
At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for singing. It ministered to my heart today. Will we leave different? Grab that one thing. Think about it for the next month and a half until I preach the next message, and try and work on something that you can work on to help sing to the Lord because he's asked us. All right, you are dismissed.